Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And Father, we ask that in your mercy and in your kindness, you would enable us to hear what you have to say to us, so that we would consider you as Lord and Saviour. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What steps do you take to get ready or prepared for something? We all have some sort of wake-up routine, I assume, which helps us to start the day that we're about to have. So it could go something like this. Alarm goes off, you hit the alarm. Okay, well, it's a good step one, Stretch, shower, get dressed, that's quite vital. Brush teeth, put on deodorant, make coffee, drink coffee, make kale smoothie, drink kale smoothie, right? Now, without coffee, a shower and brushing of teeth, I feel awful for the rest of the day and I'm totally unprepared for the day ahead. What if you want to become a doctor? Right? Let's aim high, right? What if you want to become a doctor, right? I think you'd need to take these steps. Get good grades or marks. Have some people skills. That's actually really handy. Go to medical school. That's really, really handy. Work 80-hour weeks. Specialise. Now, what about moving overseas, right? So for Claire and I and the kids, that meant getting prepared and ready to do ministry. And so this is what it looked like for us. So we did a 2-year ministry apprenticeship in a local church to discern whether full-time paid ministry was actually for us. And then studying for 4 years at Bible college. And during that time, within that 6-year window, we continually met with CMS, the Church Missionary Society, to see if ministry overseas was actually for us. There were no shortcuts to what we did, but there were moments where we did question whether it was all worth it. There were moments of that. But it wasn't just out of nowhere, hey, we're moving overseas. It wasn't like that. Nor was it, oh, there's no job at the end of Bible college. I know, let's go overseas, right? Nor was it, well, you know, we just finished high school or something. I know what I'll do, I'll be a missionary overseas. See, to be prepared or ready for something requires a certain amount of serious faithfulness as you prepare for that task or goal. What steps do you take to get ready or prepared for something important? Maybe something important like the arrival of Jesus. And as we come to Matthew chapter 25, we get a glimpse of what it means to be ready for the second coming of Jesus. But in order to understand this parable, we need to understand it in the context of Matthew's gospel. And so from Matthew chapter 24, Jesus speaks of the end times. And one of the signs of the end is that false messiahs will appear. So they'll make grand claims about themselves, which are lies. They'll make their claims in their delusions. And what does Jesus say? Don't be deceived. See, Jesus is not going to return secretly in one little part of the world. When he returns, we're all going to know. And even today, there are people who claim to be the Messiah, the King, the Jesus figure. But Jesus warns, don't let them deceive you. Another sign of the end is geopolitical conflict between nations and also nations suffering from famine and earthquake. Another sign of the end is that people who follow Jesus will be persecuted. And it's during this time that people will turn their backs on Jesus. It's either too hard or the world is too convincing. And then later in Matthew 24, Jesus speaks as if he's clearly gone. He's absent. He's nowhere to be seen amongst his people. And so if you look, and so in his absence, what's to happen? Have a look at Matthew 24, verse 45. Faithful and wise servants are to serve God and his people, as faithfulness is shown in action. But the wicked servant takes advantage of Jesus' absence by doing whatever they please in verses 48 and 49. It's lip service Christianity at best, which invites judgment on themselves. And as Jesus begins the parable of the ten virgins, we are given a glimpse into the future with the kingdom of heaven. And in this analogy, he tells us of the certainty of the coming bridegroom. So point one, the certainty of the coming bridegroom. And you see this in verses 1 to 4 in chapter 25 of Matthew's gospel. And the future, the kingdom of heaven, it'll be like a wedding feast. In the first century, the bridegroom was the focal point of the wedding ceremony. It's the reverse of what happens today. And wedding feasts happen at night after dancing all day long. And here in this parable, we're introduced to two types of virgins. These virgins, their job was to leave the bride and escort the bridegroom and bring the bridegroom to her at night. And in this parable, there are five wise and five foolish. Now, why were five considered wise, and why were the other five considered foolish? Verse 3 explains why. The foolish ones didn't prepare with extra oil for their lamps. They didn't prepare with extra oil for their lamps at night to celebrate with the bridegroom. And focusing on the foolish virgins, what do you think stopped them from taking extra oil for their lamps? Right? Now, that's hard to say. Maybe they assume that the oil in their lamps is enough, even if there are setbacks. Maybe the foolish virgins are just happy-go-lucky types, right? Maybe they have a she'll-be-right attitude that prevented them from taking extra oil for themselves. Maybe they were just too caught up in their new ideas or the trends to prepare for their role. Maybe they were so caught up in their own little world that the job that they were assigned didn't really matter in the end. Maybe they were just so enamoured with their own thoughts and comforts that everything else came second. Maybe they lived for such comfort and avoided any pain at all costs that it would just be too painful to get that little bit of extra oil. Could you imagine the conversation, right, between the wise and the foolish, right, a couple of days before the wedding, right? So the wise would go, hey, you going to the wedding in a couple of days? And the foolish, they're just playing on their phone, right? They're playing on their phone. And they look up, they're like, yeah, I guess I am, yeah. And then the wise, they say, well, you going to take extra oil? And the foolish, they're looking at their phone still. They're like, why? Why would I do that? And the wise are like, well, in case the guy's late, you know, like what usually happens. And still scrolling on the phone. I think it'll be okay. I think it'll be all right. The wise says, are you excited? Still scrolling the phone, the fool goes, oh yeah, maybe. They were not ready to fulfill their duties to the fullest, which is deemed foolish in this parable. See, by taking extra oil, the wise virgins were deemed wise. They were ready for any setback, including a delay, or at least they were prepared for any type of delay or setback. they're ready to do their job and to do it to the full. The bridegroom will arrive at the wedding, and the virgins are there to do their job in escorting him to his bride with their lamps in the middle of the night. And here, Jesus is talking about his return after he leaves them the first time. Previously, he described himself as the bridegroom in Matthew chapter 9. And the 10 virgins are those who are servants or followers of Jesus. And their job is to serve the bridegroom, to serve Jesus. And Jesus gives us the two categories of wise and foolish. See, remember what wisdom is. Wisdom is not about intelligence. It's not about book smarts. It's not about how well you can remember things. It's about responding rightly to life's situations. Wisdom comes from right actions at the right time. Right actions at the right time, or at the future time. And the wedding is a picture of heaven. It's not boring. It's not harps. It's not white. It's not all that stuff. It's a celebration. It's a true celebration. When a wedding happens today, there is an anticipation of the coming bride, isn't there? So what do you do at weddings? Well, hopefully you get all dressed up. You get all glamorous for the occasion. And as a wedding guest, you arrive at the right time, hopefully, and wait with the rest of the guests and the groom for the bride to show up. Claire and I were once invited to a friend's wedding before we ourselves got married. I remember arriving at the church and sitting in anticipation of the bride coming down the aisle. Then the time of arrival came and the bride had not arrived. 5 minutes went by. We thought she was being fashionably late. Then 10 minutes, 15 minutes pass. We were looking at our watches. What's going on? 30 minutes goes by. I was looking at the groom. He looked a bit nervous. Then at the 45-minute mark, she finally arrives. Now, to this day, I don't know why she was delayed. I have no idea. I haven't bothered asking. But it was no runaway bride. She was coming to her wedding. She was just a little bit delayed. And Jesus, in this parable, is speaking about him and his followers. Jesus is not with us now, but he promises that he is coming. It's a guaranteed return. And so let me ask you this. Does the knowledge of Jesus, of the impending return of Jesus, motivate you to live for him wholeheartedly? Not just in action, but also in thoughts, in words, and in your desire to serve him, like the wise and faithful virgins who ensured that they served the bridegroom well. Because true faithfulness always shows itself through obedience. Or maybe you're just minimally compliant, like the foolish virgins. You cannot hide what you are faithful to. Wise living is faithfulness to Jesus. And foolish living is half-hearted faithfulness to Jesus. Maybe you just lack the desire for an eternity with Jesus. And you just have a great desire to live for the here and now. Maybe there is something far brighter in your life that outshines the promise of Jesus' return. like the lights of the sea, drowning out the stars at night. And as we continue in this parable, we come to the surprise arrival of the bridegroom. Point two, the surprise arrival of the bridegroom. And you see this in verses 5-9. So in verse 5, the bridegroom's delayed. And because of the delay, both wise and foolish virgins, they fall asleep. Bridegrooms in the first century were often late. Then they are alerted to his impending arrival. I think the way to think about it, it's like that notification on your phone that just never goes away. And it's kind of like, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And you're kind of swiping it away. No, he's coming, he's coming. And it won't go away until he finally arrives. That's how it was back in the first century. And the bridegroom's coming is sudden. No one knows when he'll arrive. And he gives no reason as to why he'll arrive when he does. And so when he arrives, everyone wakes up. The foolish ones were unprepared for this scenario. Their lamps had burnt out and they required more oil. They asked for more oil from their fellow wise virgins who were prepared. But there's only enough for five. There's only enough for five of them, not for a whole ten. So it was suggested to the foolish ones that they go and buy some in the middle of the night. So now you may be thinking, what's so important about lamps that for these virgins and the bridegroom? What's so important? Well, without lit lamps, they could not proceed with the wedding. And they certainly could not escort the bridegroom to his bride at the wedding feast. And what we can glean from the passage is the wise virgins were expecting the bridegroom to be delayed in some way. See, the wise virgins are faithful servants who wait and are prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. The foolish virgins are unprepared for the arrival of the bridegroom. They took their role for granted. Now, you might be thinking how selfish the wise virgins were in not giving the foolish ones some of their oil. Got to remember, it's the middle of the night, and they needed light to do their job. See, lamps, lit lamps, are essential to their job. And wives, and the wise virgins needed to serve the bridegroom. Their preparation was praised as wise. The foolish virgins were short-sighted. They lived for now, for the present, and not for the future. Obedience to the bridegroom takes precedence. The virgins had one job. They had one job. And they were expected to carry it out fully. And Jesus, the bridegroom, you don't know when he's coming back. I don't. You don't. No one does. He could come back at any minute. And this news should provoke a response from us. So if you follow Jesus, if you trust in him, are you obedient to him? Are you obedient to him even though he's not present with us at the moment? Do you love his word? Do you seek to serve him with the gifts that you have? Or are you too caught up in here and now to only obey what you want and what you desire at the expense of following the Lord and missing out on that great wedding feast? And as this parable draws to a close, there is a horrific end. There is a horrific end. The wise are welcomed into the wedding feast, but the unprepared are rejected by the bridegroom. So point three, the unprepared are rejected by the bridegroom in verses 10 to 13. While the foolish ones went to find oil, the bridegroom arrives in their absence. Those with oil in their lamps are escorted. Those with their lamps escort the bridegroom to the party, and they entered the wedding party with him. Then the doors are shut. A period of time lapses, and the foolish virgins have their oil and are late. They've got all their stuff together, and they expect to be welcomed in. They plead for the door to be opened. They're knocking. They hope that the one in charge will give special consideration and allow them to come in, even though they're late. The fact that they were not there for the bridegroom's arrival is an insult to his honour. It is an insult to the honour of his family. It is an insult to the honour of his bride. Such is the shame that the only way to deal with it is to deny any pre-existing relationship. Hence the, I don't know you. I don't know you. That's how you deal with shame. You cut it off completely, somehow. Can you imagine the Lord of the universe saying to you, go away, I don't know you. The one who knows the very hairs on your head, no longer in relationship with you, because you were not faithful and obedient to him to the very end. This is a terrifying warning. Terrifying. So don't be like that foolish, those foolish virgins missing out, being shut out. Have you ever missed a train or a flight somewhere? We've come close to missing flights. That's stressful. Especially when you need to get somewhere at a particular time. I don't know about you, I get that sinking feeling when I miss a train or a plane or something. When I was teaching in the city of Alexandria in Egypt, I would catch a train from Cairo to Alexandria on the coast. And sometimes I'd stay overnight in Alexandria after lectures and take the train back to Cairo the next day. Or sometimes I would try and take the train later that day. I'll never forget one moment after a lecture. I thought my train was at a particular time. So, with my bag, I took my sweet time walking to the train station that night, taking in all the sights and sounds of the city of Alexandria. But as I arrived, the train had already departed. I got the time wrong. I somehow misread the time. I was out by 12 hours. Reading is hard. There was no getting the train driver to come back. There was no running after the train. The train had already gone. I totally missed it. And in the same way, Jesus has a time limit. When he returns, that's it. When Jesus returns, that's it. So don't take Jesus for granted. Don't misuse the grace of God as a means to do as you please. one day, the door will shut and you will not be able to enter because you were not faithful to him to the very end. Faithfulness entails responsibility, a personal responsibility to serve the Lord and his people. No one can be faithful to the Lord on your behalf. No one. In this parable, hopefully we've seen that Jesus is returning, and so who of the faithful are left when he returns? It's like the show Survivor, in one sense, except there is no outwitting God. There is no outlasting God. There is no outplaying God. Earlier I asked, what steps do you take to get ready or prepared for something, especially if it's important? How do you get ready for Jesus and his coming? Because this parable is a warning for us to be ready. Will we be ready for Jesus by exercising faithfulness in serving him and his people, persevering, trusting in him to the very end? It's an individual decision that you have to make. You can't say, well, mum and dad were churchgoers, that'll do. You can't say, well, I was a Christian when I was younger, but then life just got in the way. That'll do. So you can't piggyback off people. You can't piggyback off your past. You've got to keep following Jesus. Keep trusting him. You are responsible for you. You are responsible for you. Do you live for Jesus? And are you ready for his impending return? See, faithfulness, it's not an intellectual exercise. Faithfulness is always shown through obedience to him and his words. The wise virgins were the ones who were obedient to serve the bridegroom in their role. They were wise because they ensured that they would be extra oil to do the job, and they showed their faithfulness in this way. That's how they showed their faithfulness. You can't hide who you really trust and follow. You can't hide your commitment. You can't hide your faithfulness. So, friends, I want to encourage you. Be committed to Jesus through words, through actions, through trust, through obedience, until the very end. I'm going to close by praying, and then we're going to have a song. So let me pray. Father, we read Matthew 25 and we shudder. Lord, may we be committed to you, not only through words, but also through actions. May we be committed to you by trusting you and obeying you to the very end. And so, Lord, please, would you help us in this way? In Jesus' name, amen.